everyone, and welcome to the Nintendo Fever Podcast. This is episode 18. I'm your host, Holly Felmuth, and I am joined tonight by Matt Desend.
Hello, hello.
And also Bradley Cragen once again.
What's up?
So Bradley has kind of decided-ish, maybe, to be kind of a regular on the podcast. So Bradley, bow on one knee. I'm going to dub you.
I'm totally bowing right now.
Okay, he's on one knee. I dub the Bradley of the News 11 regular on the podcast.
The only thing that he can't tell you legally is that we're actually holding him at gunpoint over Skype, so he's really scared.
So when I say Bradley of the News 11, Bradley has a YouTube channel. For those of you who don't know, check it out at Bradley News 11. Go search that on YouTube. So that's where you can find him. Today we're going to be talking about some of our usual things. We're talking about what we've been playing, and we also have a feature, which I'm going to keep a secret, just to keep up the suspense. You gotta keep listening to find out. Ooh.
Dun dun dun!
So talking about what we've been playing, Matt, anything interesting this week?
I have been playing a couple of Vidya games, because, you know, I like to play them Vidya games. I pulled out my DS, and I wanted to try out some games that I had purchased a while ago, but never got around to actually playing. So I put a little bit of time into two games, and the two games that I played, one of them was called Super Dodgeball Brawlers. Yeah, that's the subtitle. Do any of you remember a game on the NES that was called River City Ransom?
Yes.
I have heard of it. It's on the eShop, isn't it?
I believe it is on the Wii eShop, but not the Wii U eShop, but I could be wrong. So they created a fighting game system, so it's a brawler on the NES, and they created a very simplified brawling engine, you know, like a beat-em-up engine, which is one button punches, one button kicks, and then both buttons together does a jump. And a lot of games actually made by this company used this same system for a lot of games that was made by the same company.
It sounds horrible.
It works really well. Have you ever played Double Dragon on the NES?
I have not. Funny enough, I own it, but I have not.
Well, play it, because that's very similar. So, without going too deep into the history of these old-school NES games, this company made a bunch of beat-em-up fighting games for the NES, and they were using the same system, and River City Ransom, Dungeon or Double Dragon, lots of other little ones that I can't think of off the top of my head. But anyways, this company broke off, and they started making a few other games with the same character design as River City Ransom, and they made a volleyball game, a dodgeball game, and I believe they made a soccer game as well. And they're all very unique, because there's moments where you're supposed to like actually fight your opponents, like hand-to-hand fighting, instead of worrying about the actual point of the game. So they're like a brawler inside of a sports game. It's crazy.
UFC volleyball?
Exactly.
Ooh, yeah, it sounds like Matt's kind of game.
It's pretty fun. And this is a spiritual successor sequel of kinds for the DS. The graphics look really sharp and nice. I forgot how good some DS games actually look. You know, we've been really lucky with the 3DS as of late for such a long time now, it feels, that putting in some DS games, it just looks like garbage. And other ones with good art direction just look really nice. And this one I thought looked really nice. It plays pretty slow, so it's hard to kind of get into. But I put a couple hours into it, and I had fun while I did it. It's very arcadey, and it's meant to just be played in short bursts. There's a tournament mode, a one-on-one mode, an eight-player brawl mode, where there's a volleyball in the middle, and then eight players all fight each other trying to kill one another while you're throwing a volleyball at each other.
Wow.
So if that doesn't sound like the greatest thing ever, I think you're crazy.
It's quite interesting.
Yeah, I'd give it a go if I had the opportunity.
Look up some gameplay for it. It's unique. It's definitely different. And then the other DS game that I decided to put a little bit of time into, because I haven't played it in a long time, and I know it gets a really, really bad rap. Okay? And I don't know why. I remember when I played it, I didn't think it was good or great or anything. But I remember having fun with it. And that game is Yoshi's Island DS. Now, I have the actual cart for my DS, and I've been playing it. I've beaten the first five levels, and to me, it's just a lot of Yoshi's Island. So I don't know I don't know why this game...
I have that.
I know this game got a lot of bad rap, but I don't know why it got a lot of bad rap. Do you guys remember hearing about that at all?
I think it might be the switching babies, maybe?
I haven't got there yet, so maybe once that kind of hits. You know, the Metacritic score is 81, but the user score on Metacritic is 77.3. So...
Neither of those sound that bad.
They don't. I don't know.
It's kind of like Bravely Default. I mean, it's a great game up until a certain point, and then you just hate its guts. I did, anyway.
Yeah.
Well,
repetitiveness. But, I think it was this baby switching mechanic. Like, in mid-level, you had to keep switching between babies to get to different areas.
Maybe that's what it was. I haven't got quite there yet, but I'm excited to be playing Yoshi's Island DS because it feels like Yoshi's Island for the Super Nintendo. Like, this feels like a really good game, and I just remember that it got a lot of flack, but I couldn't remember why it got the flack. I know you switch between Baby Mario, Baby Peach, and isn't it Baby Donkey Kong?
And Wario, and Bowser.
And Wario. Daisy. Holy crap, what?
And Waluigi. I'm just kidding. Believe anything I just said.
Just Wario and Bowser. Baby Bowser.
How many babies are there?
Well, there are a ton. Haven't you played Mario Kart 8?
That's true.
Yeah, pink, gold, baby Rosalina.
Oh, yeah. That exists. All you have to do is drive in circles on baby park on the opposite direction for 5 hours. Cheat code.
Oh, I would totally do that if it was, like, back in 1990.
Yeah, that's an old school cheat code right there. But those are the two games I've been spending a lot of my time with just because I've been wanting to kind of get back in my DS and play some old school. Wow, I am just getting I don't know what's wrong with me. But that's what I have to offer at today's podcast.
Okay. I've been playing a game recently. I've been getting more into it recently. I have been playing this game for quite some time, but I only play it off and on because at first it didn't really suck me in as well as it sucked other people in. This little game is called Child of Light. You may have heard
of it. That's a good one.
So I heard.
I like that one.
It took me forever to really get into it. I wasn't blown away by the visuals, for one thing. And
really?
Yeah. The music didn't really blow me away either. So.
It looks pretty pretty. I'm just going to say, like, I haven't
It's all hand-drawn. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I haven't played Child of Light, but I did play a little bit of Valiant Hearts on the PS4, and that was stunning, I thought. It's the same art. What's it called?
Ubisoft framework.
Yeah, Ubisoft. UbiArt.
UbiArt.
So they both kind of come from the same place.
Yes.
And Rayman Legends too,
which is also a beautiful game, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as far as Child of Light goes, yeah, I don't know why, but the visuals, the combat, the characters, and the writing, everything has had to grow on me with this game. But finally, this past week, I gave it a little bit of time and was just like, I'm going to beat it eventually. And suddenly I'm just like, wow, you know what? It's a great game. It took me, like I say, forever, but I finally figured that out. In case you guys don't know, listeners, that is, it's an RPG, kind of a simplistic RPG, but the battle system's actually pretty good once you get the hang of it, which that took me forever. And I guess
yeah,
it's
I
actually
like it.
Reminiscent of a previous game that...
Yeah.
Apparently. What game is that?
I don't know.
Yeah. I have heard the comparisons. And like you, Bradley, this is also new to me. But I forget which game it was that this game's battle system kind of borrowed from. But it just kind of involves this timeline. And each of the characters in play, the enemies and the good guys, are kind of like moving along this timeline. And you kind of have to manage when you attack and how you attack based on where you are on the timeline. There's like a small section, by the way, at the end of the timeline. That's like your casting time, and if you're attacked in that spot, you are interrupted. But you can also interrupt enemies by timing your attacks right, and you can also defend against interruptions and
slow down.
Yeah, you can. There's kind of an interesting mechanic in the character Igniculus is his name. He's a little magical firefly.
Yeah.
You can control him if you're playing by yourself, and I have actually recently tried the co-op, but if you're playing by yourself, you can control him by moving the R stick. and you move him over a certain enemy and then shine his light in that enemy's face, which, you know what, this actually feels so satisfying. You can slow that enemy down and try to get the timing right to where you can interrupt them before they can act. So anyway, I have really, I've grown to like it very slowly. Some people may have noticed on Miiverse probably several weeks ago, I posted and said, like, you know what? I'm trying so hard to like this game, but I just don't. Well, you'll be glad to know that I have come to appreciate it, and I really enjoy it now. So, yay for Child of Light.
Good job, Holly.
I definitely want to look into getting Child of Light. I think it looks stunning. I'm kind of waiting for a sale, just because I know Ubisoft, after X amount of time, usually will do a sale on their games, and I feel like this would be a prime candidate, especially because we probably won't be seeing any more Ubisoft games coming to the platform. So if I could find this for $10 on the eShop, I would buy it in a heartbeat. I just know that it takes a little bit of a time commitment, so I haven't wanted to kind of... I don't want to dive in too deep yet.
Well, as far as RPGs go, it's actually a pretty light one. That's how I describe it.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, it's not that long.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think I have put 7 or 8 hours into it, maybe a little more, and I think I'm getting close-ish to the end, so.
Stop trying to make me spend my monies.
Yeah, this isn't like no 30-hour RPG or anything.
That's good. That's good to know.
Jeez, it took me like 50 to beat Tales of the Abyss and, you know, like 100 to beat Xenoblade Chronicles. And.
Yeah, but you're crazy.
Yeah, I am. Anyway, usually it takes me about 30-some-odd hours to beat a typical Pokemon game, so...
True.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So there you go. But, yeah, a Child of Light. Good, kind of simplistic, sometimes RPG, but it is...
It has a very involved combat, and I like that.
Yeah, it does. And it does take some getting used to. It's kind of like Splatoon. Splatoon took me quite a while to get used to.
Oh, yeah, the controls in that game.
Yeah, they're kind of crazy.
Well, that's why all you have to do is switch it back over to traditional controls and be fine.
Ooh, I actually tried that once and did horribly.
Yeah, I used the gyro.
Yeah, but like we decided, you're crazy.
Okay. I can live with that.
All right.
And I'm sure Bradley can, too.
Yeah.
So speaking of Bradley, what have you been playing, my dear YouTube friend?
Well, I am still playing Etrian Odyssey Untold 2. That's the game I've been playing.
That's why I haven't played that series. It's too complex for me. Even the titles are complex. That tells you something.
Are you able Etrian Odyssey to 2, talk Untold. About the game at all? Yeah.
No. But it's hard. I'll say that.
Okay.
And it's long.
Hard and long. Okay. Gotcha.
Sweet. We just got some insider info on that game that doesn't come out till what, August or something?
Very beginning of August.
We won't tell nobody that you told us that.
It's fun though.
Our lips are sealed. Cool. Maybe I'll look into it. Maybe. Is it pretty okay? Are you allowed to say whether it's kind of a standalone experience, or do you feel like you need to play other games in the series to like get the storyline or anything?
No, you don't have to play other ones. It's self-contained.
Cool, cool. I may consider getting it. Jumping into that series, despite all the other many games.
Just know, it's $50.
Okay. And this is a 3DS game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that is pricey.
It's Atlas. They bring over very niche software that they know only their fans are going to purchase. And I like that they're doing that. Yeah. They put a price tag on it that they feel warrants the time that they took to actually bring it over. Because if it wasn't for them... This would have never came over.
Yeah. The game does have a lot of content, though, so...
Yeah, I believe it.
Okay, fair enough. I feel like
that's about it.
Yeah. I feel like that should have been longer, but I guess it can't be longer, no matter how much we want it to be, so...
I downloaded Metroid Prime Trilogy.
Ah, yes, that brings us to our next kind of topic. I actually didn't mention this at the beginning of the podcast, but after our What We've Been Playing section, we may as well throw this in here now. We are going to start this amazingly epic thing that you listeners can participate in called the... Matt.
The Super Ultra Mega Ultra Platinum
I think you
Game
said
of the
Ultra
Month.
Twice.
Because it's Ultra Ultra.
Okay.
This is going to be a game month club that we are going to pick a game. Eventually, we might open it up to the listeners. But for this very first one, we want to try to keep it as contained and as controlled as possible. And we are looking through the list of games that me, Bradley, and Holly both all has. And we decided that a game that, one, we either haven't played in a long time, or we've never actually beaten the game, or haven't beat it, played it, I mean, we would sit down for 1 month, take some time out of our days, and play it. And the game that we chose is the original Metroid Prime for the GameCube, later released for the Metroid Trilogy on Wii, and then more recently put onto the Wii U Virtual Console service under the Metroid Prime banner, Trilogy banner. So, the original Metroid Prime game is, of course, a huge change-up in style over all previous Metroid games, and our goal is to play it, and we'd love for the listeners to join along, play it as well, email us their thoughts, let us know how they're enjoying it, find us on Twitter, talk to us on there, obviously, and then in 2 weeks, we're going to have kind of like a midpoint break where we discuss kind of standard things in the game, and then hopefully by the end of the month, given we all kind of beat it, we'll have kind of a spoiler cast type podcast where we really go in depth and talk about our feelings and thoughts about this game. So that's at least the plan.
What can you even spoil in Metroid Prime?
Did you know
Ridley's in it?
Did you know Metroid's a girl?
Okay. Oh my gosh.
Metroid is an alien, man.
What? Wait a minute. You mean the person that I control isn't a Metroid?
No, man.
But can Metroid crawl?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
That's all that matters.
Spoiler alert. Metroid in Metroid Prime can crawl. Oh, my goodness. Oh, this should be fun. I'm actually the only one here on the podcast who has beaten Metroid Prime. I'm proud to say it's the only Metroid game I've beaten, and I'm very happy to say that I've at least beaten one Metroid game, and that is Metroid Prime. But I'll be replaying it, of course. And again, you listeners, please join with us and play it as well if you have it. And you should. Anybody who has a Wii U should have taken advantage of the amazing deal on the eShop where they could.
Yeah, the very first week it was on sale for only $10.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I snatched that up immediately. Bradley, it sounds like you waited until it was $20 because you wanted to give Nintendo more money?
No, here's the reason.
Okay, I'm listening.
The Wii U only has 32 gigabytes of storage.
Yes, that's true.
And I didn't have an external hard drive.
This is less of a good reason.
So, that's the reason.
Makes perfect sense to me. When I was in the market for a hard drive, I had the hardest time finding the right one. And then the cord that comes with a hard drive or the wire or whatever, it's not really sufficient. You have to have a Y cable. I had a regular old cable that just plugged in with one USB.
Yeah, you can't.
For those of you who need a hard drive, okay, get a dang Y cable to plug that thing into your system.
Yes. All I did is I bought one with a separate power cord, though.
Okay. Yeah. I guess that works, too, but that's a pain. Where do you even plug that in?
Well, I have a projector set up. One day I'm going to send you pictures of how I have my living room set up. It's pretty awesome.
It's like a 100-inch projector.
Well, actually, I just recently upped it a little bit, so we're finalizing the projector at 110 inches.
Ooh.
Yes, widescreen.
Snaps.
HD. Ooh. I have everything hooked up to it. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And I have a pretty nice little sound bar that I was able to find for cheap. And it's everything that I wanted as a child made in reality.
Sweet.
Nice. Play some Splatoon on that thing.
Oh, it's beautiful.
So it looks like we will all be enjoying ourselves playing Metroid Prime on our beautiful TV screens.
Yes.
For the next month. And again, I don't know if there's a lot you can spoil. And I've actually played the game, I guess. Really,
well, I'm talking
it's only
about,
the
like,
final
secrets.
Boss.
I mean,
oh, yeah, that's
also,
true.
There's secrets we can go into. There's, you know, it's not so much spoiler cast in the sense of like, oh.
Storyline.
Yeah, storyline so much. But it's just like a very in-depth dive inside of the game. I want to really, really, you know, kind of dissect Metroid Prime. What makes it great? What makes it not great? This is an old game, and I don't know for sure, but I'm going to guess it's going to feel a little dated at parts.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, I didn't feel that way at all just because of the atmosphere, but we will get into that at a later date, of course.
Yes,
now we'll be talking about our feature, which is hidden or even a little bit obvious, DS and 3DS gems. You listeners who have been around for a while probably remember our talk on the Wii and what a great library that system has. I know a lot of people don't agree with that, but I love the Wii and its library. So we're going to be giving the same treatment basically to mostly the DS, hopefully, but a little bit to the 3DS as well. And so I've put us in the same order as when we talked about what we've been playing. So Matt's going to start us out by giving us his picks for the DS and the 3DS.
Okay, so I actually only picked 5 DS games, and maybe one day we'll revisit this topic and I'll kind of throw in some 3DS games as well, just because
the 3DS is still current gen, technically.
Yeah, it's still a little bit current. I think a lot of people, the games that are hidden gems as of right now on the 3DS, I feel like most people either have a good idea of what they are or they've maybe played them or seen them. It's just very current. So I kind of decided to stick only with the Nintendo DS. And I tried to pick 5 games that, one, I loved when I bought it, played it, and I miss it. I miss playing it. That was kind of one of my rules that I wanted to do, is I kind of miss playing this on a regular basis. And then two, how hard and or easy it is to find for me. And then three, do you remember hearing this name? And if you remember hearing this name, then I think it classifies it as a hidden gem because you know what it is, but you never actually played it. So these are the 5 games that I picked. Lost in Blue. Do either of you know what the Lost in Blue series is?
Is that where you explore the ocean?
Not the ocean.
That's Endless Ocean.
Yes, Endless Ocean.
Okay, then I don't
it's
know.
It's a survival game.
It is.
You're on an island.
You're a boy and a girl, and you
and
shipwreck.
And a girl, what?
Yes, you're a boy, you're a boy taking care of a girl.
Okay.
And you shipwreck, and you land on an island, and you have to go out and find animals to kill, to eat. You got to find supplies for water and fire, and you have to solve a little mystery on the island. It's a very, it's a cool
Castaway.
Game. It's Castaway with little kids.
It's actually starting to sound familiar to me now. Like I read about it in Nintendo Power.
Probably.
Yeah, they released multiple sequels.
There was three for the DS, and I liked 1 and 2. I never actually played 3, but I think it's a hidden gem because I don't think a ton of people have played it, but I do think people know what it is, and it is worth your time to find it and play it. It's at least good enough to give it a try, or if nothing else. The next game that I have to offer is Retro Game Challenge. Now, do either one of you know what this is?
I heard of it.
No idea.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Okay. Imagine, if you will, a bedroom. These two kids go into a bedroom and they talk to each other about this brand new system that one of the kids just bought. And all of a sudden they're putting in games into the system in the game. So you're playing a game within a game.
Inception, baby.
And while you're playing the games, you can actually pause the game and go through the bedroom and look at old magazines to find cheat codes and information about the game that you're playing in the game.
That sounds pretty unique.
Interesting.
Like, I feel like that should have been done and it should be a popular concept.
So this is actually a Japanese game that was localized for American audiences, and it's based on a Japanese TV show where they play old retro games and they try to get like super high scores and stuff like that. But this is a game that's all about playing about, I think there's 5 different games. There's a shooter, a platformer, another platformer, a racing type game, and then there's a full RPG in this game, and they're all based on NES 8-bit style graphics.
Wow.
And it is a retro gaming dream. It's so good. The games are fun. You have to find it. I don't think it's too difficult to find, and I don't think it's too expensive either. So do yourself a favor if you're a fan of retro games and get this game and look up some information about it, because I'm not doing it justice. I promise I'm not.
Okay. I thought it was a bundle of like retro games like Galaga and stuff.
So they're based off old school games, but it's not a bundle of old games. Look up Retro Game Challenge. And
it's a
you
bundle
will be
of original games.
It is a bundle of original games, including a full RPG, Holly.
I think you would like this.
Yeah. Okay. The third game I have to offer is called Zookeeper. This is a DS puzzle game where you have to match up like tiles by swiping a non-like tile away to make two like tiles. I think you have to match three. Is it three or four?
Yeah, it's a match three game.
Match three game, exactly. And each level is laid out. It tells you what kind of animals you need to get the matches of to progress to the next level. And it just, there's a timer that's always running down. It's similar to like the recent Pokemon Shuffle game.
Yeah.
Only it's not based on moves. It's based on a timer. I think it's hilarious. It's very funny. The art style's fun. It's very addicting. It's easy to play. I can't tell you how many hours this was the very first game I bought for my DS back in the day. And it's left an impression on me ever since.
And you can buy it on Amazon new for less than $6, people.
Awesome. So this one I think is worth it. At least look it up.
Yeah.
Zookeeper, also funny story. You can have it in your DS, close your DS to put it in sleep mode, and it does not support sleep mode.
Oh.
So you can jam to the music.
So there is a...
Or waste your battery and not even realize it.
Well, yeah, that's what really happens. I remember I did that one time, and I went back to my DS after I closed it. I'm like, I thought this thing was supposed to have, like, good battery life. Little did I know that game was cheating with me.
Maybe it was a bug. Maybe that's a bug.
They just didn't program it.
Really?
Yeah, it literally was not a feature that was programmed into the game. I believe it's the only DS game that actually does that.
Huh. Yeah, I think it's a requirement now.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next game I'd like to talk about is called... I have two puzzle games right next to each other. This is called Meteos. It's another match three puzzle game. This one's all about asteroids, and you connect your like tiles, and then it shoots them into the sky. And as they get shot into the sky, more tiles will start falling, but you have to continually add tiles to those tiles so that they will get rocketed out as well. It's an awesome puzzle game. It's super awesome music. I would say this is probably one of the best soundtracks in all of video gaming.
Wow, I don't know about that.
But it's really good. It's super energetic and it keeps you going. There's lots of unlockables. I remember this was one of the first games I had gotten from my DS, and it was one of the first games that I ever got like super heavy into the unlocking aspect of it. Like I wanted to do all the different things I could do in the game just to unlock everything possible to get 100% in the game.
Don't forget who made it.
And Sakurai is the mind behind this game, I do believe.
Yes.
Did you double check that?
No.
Me neither. But I'm pretty sure that's true because it was a big deal because it was something that wasn't Kirby. And it is. It's Sakurai. I just looked it up.
Yeah.
It's not Kirby. It's not, Smash Brothers. It's a very unique and different puzzle game. And it's also, I believe, yeah, this is Sora Unlimited, which is... I believe this and Smash Brothers are the only thing that Sora Unlimited actually ever produced, right?
I don't know.
I believe it might have been.
What about Kid Icarus Uprising?
Was that made under Sora, or did they create its own... So Kid Icarus was made under this as well. Okay, so never mind. Forget I said that. So that's the fourth game. And the very last game I'd like to talk about really briefly, because I know I'm taking up a bunch of time already, is the Castlevania series for the Nintendo DS. I think that the Castlevania games for the DS are three of the greatest action platformer RPGs in existence. Dawn of Sorrow, Portrait of Ruin, and Order of Ecclesia are all three very like-minded Castlevania games that have their own differences with what they do with the different battle systems. My favorite one was Order of Ecclesia. I really like the graph system. They're all very similar, but they're slightly different. And I like the way that Order of Ecclesia went about how they handled the special powers, and also the way that it handled the story and exploring. And it was just a great game. The Castlevania games are great. I wish we could get them back like this. Do either of you have history with Castlevania on the 3DS? On the DS?
The only one I've played is Dawn of Sorrow. I think it's the first one that came out, I think.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I like that one. It has a... I like the RPG elements, getting new weapons and stuff like that.
It's one of those games, it's a very loot-heavy game, where as soon as you kill something, you go and collect whatever it has to offer, and you just want to play with whatever it gives you. Like, you want to experiment with it right away.
Yeah.
And it's fun. It's fun.
I have never played a single Castlevania game.
Oh, man. That is
not even the original.
That's okay. I will forgive anybody who's never played the original, because they don't get good till Symphony of the Night. That's just, I mean, they're good, but they're not great.
Okay. Symphony,
I hear the fourth one is good.
The Symphony of the Night? Oh, you mean Super Castlevania.
Yeah.
So I've never played Super Castlevania. I don't know.
I've only played Dawn of Sorrow, so.
You have to play Portrait of Ruin and Ord of Ecclesia. Look them up, and please, listeners, if you know what I'm talking about with any five of my games and my picks, please, you know, hit us up and let us know what you think about them as well. But now I'm done. I'm going to turn the floor to whoever wants to take it.
Okay. Well, I'm next on the list, so I'll just dive in and quickly rattle off my pick, my picks. I think Matt did or did not mention this, or maybe it's been made obvious already, but we each picked five games for this feature. Sorta. I mean, Matt kind of had, that would have been like, what, six games if you counted all three Castlevanias? But obviously that kind of counted as one anyway. So yeah, basically five games each. Three of mine are rhythm games because I think rhythm games are, in general, way underrated. So the first one on here is a DS game called Elite Beat Agents.
You know, I know a ton about this game, and I've seen it at a lot of different places to buy it for like $15 and even $10 one time. And for some reason, I've never bought it. I don't know why.
Oh my. And you're the collector.
Me either.
I am the collector, and that is kind of a weird thing for me just to pass up. But for some reason, I've just never thought about getting Elite Beat Agents. I don't know why.
Well, it's got an incredible charm to it. I love, love, love it in just about every way. I'm a huge fan of music, and one of these days we're actually going to have a podcast dedicated to music,
so y'all know,
because Matt is a video game composer, for Pete's sake.
Oh, yeah.
Tiny Galaxy.
I don't know about composer, but I did do the soundtrack for Tiny Galaxy.
It counts. He composed the intro and outro music to the podcast as well, so... We're definitely going to do that. So, you know, maybe I'll talk about Elite Beat Agents at that time because it would fit.
Rub a dub a dub, is that true?
For sure. That's Rhythm Heaven.
Yeah.
You little sneaky. That's another one of the games on my list. Rhythm Heaven for the DS. Wubba Dubba Dub's That True, however, actually comes from Rhythm Heaven Fever on the Wii.
Oh, man, sweaty wrestlers.
I don't even know what you guys are talking about right now.
Oh, man. Just get a Rhythm Heaven game. It doesn't even matter which one. They're both great.
Okay.
They're crazy.
They are.
I believe it.
Again, a lot of charm. As far as, like, a comparison between Elite Beat Agents and Rhythm Heaven goes, though, they're both totally and utterly, like, they'll suck you in with their beautiful, cute stories and visuals and things like that, but they're totally different from one another. So get them both. My last rhythm game on here is Harmonite. It's a 3DS download game. And this actually was made by the Pokemon company, Game Freak. I think Game Freak and the Pokemon company are kind of two separate things.
Game Freak made it, I know that.
Yeah, Game Freak is the people that actually make the Pokemon games. The Pokemon company is the one that actually kind of runs Pokemon in general. Like, Nintendo owns the Pokemon company.
Yeah. So this was made by Game Freak. It's a Nintendo 3DS download, I think, for like $15. Another really awesome rhythm game that probably not a lot of people played, so if you're interested in that type of thing, it's a pretty fun one. I was able to get through it and enjoy just about every minute of it just because I love music and I love rhythm games. My next game is also a 3DS game, and it is also a download as well. It's Azure Striker Gunvolt.
Now, did you get, when you bought this, because I remember in the beginning they allowed you to get the Mighty Gunvolt expansion for free or whatever. Have you played that one as well?
I have.
Yes.
That's the one I really want to play.
Yeah, super short game, Mighty Gunvolt. But
yeah, it's really short.
It's still pretty fun. I loved Azure Striker Gunvolt, though,
I've heard
a
good
lot.
Things.
I never beat it, though.
Huh.
I need to play it.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's not like a super long game. It's pretty...
It's like a Mega Man.
Yeah, it's, I think, made by some of those people who were involved in Mega Man back in the 90s or something, so...
Well, it was just, so the whole game was made, and then I believe that it was the guy that, Inafune, the guy that is known for making Mega Man, didn't he come along kind of towards the end of the development cycle and help them polish the game and kind of give it certain aspects to help it be what it turned into? Like, the game was kind of already made, and it was kind of where it was going to go, and then he came in and kind of offered his help to work with the game.
I'm not sure if that's exactly how it went, but I do think that he was involved somehow.
I think he was involved,
somehow.
Yeah,
I know he was involved somehow.
Anyway, so, really good one. One of my favorite things about that game is just kind of like the atmosphere somehow. A lot of it takes place in, you know, just these really futuristic looking settings, and I know that's kind of cliche, but for some reason I just kind of, I soak that kind of stuff up. I don't know.
It has interesting combat too.
Yeah, it's got a cool tagging system. You can tag enemies and then use your, you know, psychic powers to electrocute them, because that's like your the main character's, I guess, power, so.
Yeah.
And it works really well, actually. It doesn't take too long to get your head wrapped around it, and it becomes really fun by the end, so. Pretty good game. Another game, this comes from a very well-known series, but I think it's probably one of the underrated games in the series. My next game is, again, a DS game, not a 3DS game, a DS game. It's Kingdom Hearts Recoded. This is actually a remake of a mobile game, I think, called Coded. And to me, it's one of the best Kingdom Hearts games, just because it's got a whole lot of changes in gameplay that really, you know, like, shake things up and make the pacing really cool, so that you feel like you want to keep going because you're not just constantly grinding on stuff. Like, there, I think early in the game, there's a platforming section, and then later on, the battle system, which is usually very action-based, kind of turns into turn-based, and it even has some elements that are, you know, common in the, oh my gosh, that Mario RPG. Oh, that's what it's called. Mario RPG on the Super Nintendo?
Yeah.
Anyway, so in that game, Mario RPG that is, there are some points where you can, like, you know, hit the A button or whatever as you jump onto an enemy. So you can actually, it actually involves your reflexes in the turn play or turn-based RPG battle system. So there's actually kind of a section in Kingdom Hearts Recoded that kind of uses that type of battling. And it's really refreshing, especially in Kingdom Hearts where it's just button mashy. Most Kingdom Hearts games are so button mashy. So if you really like Kingdom Hearts but you haven't tried Recoded yet, definitely try that one out. I really, really enjoyed my time with that one. So
now my question to you, because I know you're a big Kingdom Hearts fan, right?
Yes.
Out of all the portable editions of Kingdom Hearts, which I believe there is one for the Game Boy Advance called Chain of Memories, the very first one for the DS was called 365 Days Over 2 or some weird thing.
358 Days Over 2, actually.
That is how I know you are a fan, because you
that
actually...
That is the weirdest name ever.
You
know
actually
number.
Got that. Yeah, you know the number. That's how I know you're a fan. And then, was there another DS game, or was it just these two on the DS?
I believe it was just those two for the DS. There is a 3DS one.
There is one
as well.
3DS game. So out of all the portable entries, is this the best of the portables?
I really liked Dream Drop Distance, which was the 3DS entry, but again, that game was pretty button mashy. So I actually would say that I think Kingdom Hearts Recoded tops every other Ooh. Handheld game that I've played in the series, and I believe I've played every single one of them, including the PSP one. So,
oh, okay. Well,
there you go.
You are the Kingdom Hearts fan of the podcast for sure.
Yep, I never played one, so.
Me neither. I have no desire to as well.
Well, it's the first Kingdom Hearts is the reason I bought a PlayStation 2. The one on the PSP is the reason I bought a PSP.
That's dedication.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to pay, like, what, $500, $600 just to play number 3, though, so. Which is coming up this year, I believe, or it's supposed to, so.
Eventually, when you can get a good used one.
Yep. Exactly. So, anyway, that pretty much concludes my list of DS and 3DS gems. Some of them a little more hidden than others. Bradley, how's your list looking here?
Okay, my first one I picked is a 3DS game called Etrian Mystery Dungeon.
Mm.
It's coming from Atlus. They localized it, and it's a combination of the Etrian Odyssey series and the Mystery Dungeon series. And it's kind of like Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, kind of like that layout. All the dungeons are procedurally generated, so each time you go into a dungeon, it changes. And it's pretty hard, and it punishes you for dying. It's just really fun. Like, every time you die, you lose your armor, your weapons, and you have to buy it all over again. So it's pretty challenging and pretty tense. And I like that game. Have you guys ever played it?
Nope.
So I've never played it, but I do know, I've looked up a lot of information about these Etrian mystery dungeon, or Etrian, what's the Etrian
Odyssey series?
Yes, and then Mystery Dungeon. I've always liked the fact that they challenge you and they really push you. And I enjoy games like that where, like, you actually get punished for dying, because sometimes I think too often, as gamers, we just kind of rely on dying so that we can go back to a checkpoint, or we can just die to get out of a tough part and then go back and do it. But with these games, it's like a legitimate concern that if you die, you start from scratch, basically. So
yeah,
this is,
that's one of the high points for me for this game.
If I could find this one local or something, I'd consider getting it. One, to put in my collection, and two, to really give it a shot.
Yeah, it's a really fun game. And my second game I picked is a DS game, Picross 3D. I don't know if you guys ever played the Picross series. They have like a bunch of them on the 3DS.
I have not.
So it's like,
is it Picross or is it Picross?
I don't know. I don't know how to pronounce it.
I always, when I read about it, was always Picross to me too. So
I feel like somebody called it Picross one time, but I could be wrong.
Well, isn't it?
I'm calling it Picross.
Doesn't it involve kind of drawing pictures though?
Yeah, the other ones are like 2D,
yeah,
flat, and it involves numbers. It's kind of hard to explain, and you make a picture out of the puzzle. It's kind of hard to explain.
It's a puzzle game. That's good enough for most people.
And then Picross 3D, like, transformed it into 3D. So you have to spin this cube around and chip away at the blocks, and you have to make sure you have to hit the right blocks to chip away, otherwise you get penalized, stuff like that. It's pretty challenging and is pretty unique.
It was also made
for
by
a DS game.
HAL Laboratory, I see.
Yeah.
That's pretty,
HAL Laboratory.
That's pretty crazy.
Hmm.
So I've tried to play Picross or Picross or however we're going to say it. I've tried both the 2D and the 3D games on the DS, and I don't know if I'm just stupid, but I can't. I don't know what I'm doing. My wife, on the other hand, is good at all these kinds of, like, Sudoku and Kodoku and Sebapu. I don't know. All these weird puzzle games, but me, not smart enough. So I try to make pretty pictures, and if there was a puppy that was hidden, it'd probably turn into, like, an ostrich that looked dumb. I can't do it. I'm not good at these games.
I totally get that. There's been, you know what, Box Boy. A lot of people
like
Box
Boy.
That game.
Box Boy.
Yes.
The rules, to me, they're not clear enough throughout for me to really enjoy it. Box Boy is the one for me where I feel dumb while playing it, as opposed to actually, you know, smart, which is what you're supposed to play when you play a puzzle game. So,
all right, back to my list. So my third game is a 3DS eShop game, Whoa Dave, coming from Choice Provisions, who made the Bit Trip series. It's a really fun arcade game. It's not like a big extravagant game. It's pretty bite-sized, but it's unique. It's very retro-y and addicting. I spent over 10 hours playing that game.
Ooh.
Have you guys played it?
So I know of it because it came out on the PS Plus program for the PlayStation Vita. And I put in a little bit of time with it, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. I thought it was fun. But it's an arcade game, so it's one of those things where if you don't have the drive to, like, beat your own high score, then it can lose its appeal very quickly. And I think this is actually kind of one of the best examples of a hidden gem. Because this game is awesome. It looks great. It sounds great. It's fun to play. But it's going to get easily passed up because of the type of genre that it is.
Yeah, it needs, like, online leaderboards.
Yes, it does. Why do games not have online? We're in 2015. Why does this happen?
I don't know.
I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a good game. It's a hidden gem. I like it. And my next one is actually a series of games on the 3DS eShop, and it's also on the Wii U eShop. Mighty Switch Force 1 and 2 from WayForward. These are platformer puzzle games, and they have really awesome music. And they're pretty bite-sized. They don't take that long to beat, like 2 hours maybe. You can run through them. But they're really fun.
I don't know if I'm just really bad at these games, because I bought the first one, and I'm still playing it, and I believe I have like 4 hours into it. But I'm not good. I'm not very good at it. I'll be honest. Like, it takes me quite a while to get through each one of the stages. I mean, they're very well done, and I just don't think it's my cup of tea. I kind of realized after playing it for that little bit of time that I put into it, I was like, you know what, this is a great game, and it's awesome, and it sounds great. The music is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but from Jake Kaufman.
It's just not like my cup of tea that I'm looking for. It is a heavy puzzle platformer, heavy on the puzzle part of it, I would say.
Yeah, it has a unique like 3D mechanic with the switching blocks, phasing blocks in and out, and you have to jump on them, jump in midair, phase a block in, and then...
not get crushed by a block
when
you phase it in.
Yeah, and you also get to kick babies, so...
That's true. I don't know why I couldn't keep playing. I don't know. It didn't pull me in.
Yeah. For those who like replay value, and, you know, going for... you know, the top of the top, I guess. Each level also has a par time where you get, like, an extra...
Those are so... I 100% of that game.
You're a crazy man, because I think I got the par time on the first, like, five stages. And I was like, oh, man, I can do this. You know, it took me a couple tries, but I can do this. And by the sixth or seventh stage, I was like, I'm never going to care about par again.
Did you beat the game, though?
No, I have not.
Well, if you beat the game, you get an unlockable that will help you get the pars.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Yes.
What's the unlock? Well, never mind. I guess that would be
Well, my 3DS just
spoiler.
Finished charging, so I'm going to grab it.
Okay.
Yes, beat all the levels. All right, and then my last pick is another series of games on the 3DS eShop. It's also coming to the Wii U eShop soon. I don't know when, but it's the Gunman Clive series.
Wait, yeah, that's coming to Wii U?
1 and 2 is getting an HD remix.
That's the first I've heard of this. This is fantastic.
Don't you run a Nintendo site, Holly?
No comment.
Yeah, they're platformer, shooter, kind of like Mega Man-y, but it has a really cool...
Western vibe.
Yes, Western. And it has like a unique art style. It's like pencil
like
type
sketches,
of drawings.
Yeah. Sketches,
yeah, it's really cool.
Like sketches in motion, but good sketches, because you know not all sketches are good. But
and the music,
like my sketches,
especially
my
in the
sketches
second one.
Oh yeah, the I have both the soundtracks actually. I think I paid money for both of those.
Yeah, I like the opening of Gunman Clive 2. It has
too.
A really epic music, and then the fire going on, stuff falling apart. It's really cool.
So here's what I would say about Gunman Clive, because I know we already talked about Azora's Gun Vault, and I think you said that it was very Mega Man-like. I personally think that the Gunman Clive games are the best Mega Man games to come out. They're besides Mega Man 2 and 3, which I think are probably my favorite, X is a little bit different because it's a different style of Mega Man game, but Gunman Clive is a Mega Man game to its core, and it's so, so good.
So there's no robot copies or anything like that.
But, well, it's platforming and shooting.
Yeah.
I think that's all it is. And it just feels so good.
Yeah. Has tight controls.
Yes.
It's nice.
Yeah. They both actually look really great in 3D, too.
Now we get to see them in HD.
Oh, boy. I'm pretty excited. And I know that the price tag is going to be, like, perfect. Just because he did such a good job with pricing his first two games, you know, Gunman Clive 1 and 2, that I really feel like the HD version is not going to, like... He's not going to be looking to break anybody's bank. He wants people to play his games.
Yeah, they revealed how much it is.
Oh,
did they? Yeah, let me find it. I think it's either $3 or $5.
No way.
One of those.
For both of them?
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds way
Together.
Too good to be true.
Even $5 is how much it costs to buy the first two on the 3DS, and I'd still pay another $5 to get both on
$10.
The Wii U, too.
Yeah, I'd pay $10 in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's $5.
Well, I'm going to buy everybody a copy. You get a copy. You get a copy.
Yeah. So, for the listeners who don't know, these games were basically essentially created by one guy, Bertil Horberg?
Bertil Horberg? Something
like that.
That's
what it looks like. So we're just kind of... But he's Swedish, I believe, or something like that, right?
Yeah.
So,
he's awesome, is
so
what he is.
So you just never know. He is. Really awesome games made by this one guy. Great art style and great gameplay as well. So, you know, they just kind of like have it all, and it all came from one guy. Usually you don't get that much balance with a game created by one person. So...
And both games...
I think his brother made the music or something.
That's...
And both games are very, very good, so... I mean, You don't even have to start on the first game if you didn't want to. You could go straight to the second game, I feel. And then when you beat the second game, because they're not super long, but they're so good that they're actually one of the few games that, like, I actually pick up and play a stage or two in it randomly.
Yeah, you get a fight a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, like, number what? 2 steps it up, man. You get to do all sorts of... The freaking panda.
The flying sections actually in the sequel are so well done, and they look great in 3D, and they fly. That's the best Star Fox game to come out since Star Fox 64.
I wish there was like an aiming reticle on those parts, though.
Yeah,
it's not about aiming, it's about flying.
That's why you turn the 3D effect on, though. It really helps. That's why I mentioned it.
You get to ride a pterodactyl, too.
You get it.
I think.
You get to do everything in the game, I feel.
I found the article about the price, though. Okay. It says, price should be somewhere around $4.
What the wow. OMG, for both of them. That is phenomenal. A phenomenal deal, people. Don't pass it up. Don't even pass up buying them on the 3DS right now for $2 for the first game and $3 for the second game. Just do that.
With a price tag like that, I just like to say, like, he's doing something that I feel like some indie developers overlook. It's the fact that your game is already available, especially for like these collection type things. Your game is already available, and if people were interested in buying the games, they're going to buy them. So you do a collection for two reasons. One, to bundle it together and sell it all at once and give somebody either a new experience or a fan a complete experience. And I feel like with the price tag of $4, even $10, is saying we want people to enjoy the games as many as possible. And instead of releasing Gunman Clive 1 and 2 on the Wii U, we're going to give everybody everything at once. And to do that, we're going to give you an introductory price tag that you don't get scared away from. Yeah. I think it's just a great idea to price it somewhere around. It's worth $15. I mean, it's worth $10 at least. So I hope he's able to actually price it around that price that he wants to do.
And then a lot of people buy it. They better.
Yes, everybody should buy this.
Yep. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of our... That was the end of your list, wasn't it, Bradley? Or...
Yeah, that was okay. 5. Whew. Or 8.
For a minute there, I thought I was just like kind of, you know, like, yeah, let's just skip the end of Bradley's list. Who cares? But we're good. And that brings us to the end of the podcast. If you guys want to comment on anything that has been said today, or if you want to send us questions to discuss in a future podcast, please do that. You can send us an email at podcast@nintendofever.com. You can also reach us via Twitter. My Twitter's at Holly Falmouth, and then Matt.
I'm at only Matt Desant. You can hit me up there. I love Twitter, and I'll communicate with you any chance that you give me. So be careful what you do, because I'm not lying. I'll bother the heck out of you.
My handle is at Bradley Cragen, and I am on there pretty much 24/7. It's kind of an addiction.
Oh yes, it's much.
I'll be on there 24/7 soon. Enough.
Yes, get a smartphone, Holly.
This has kind of been a continuing thing, hasn't it? For those of you listeners who are just, you know, what's the word? Anxiously joining awaiting the time I get a smartphone. It is almost upon us, so get ready.
Yeah.
Get ready.
The worldwide phenomenon, Holly gets a smartphone, has now come to a head. Now, which one does she get? That's the question. Anyway, so that's going to happen soon. Also, don't forget to check Bradley out on YouTube. Just type in Bradley News 11. Great content there on YouTube for any Nintendo fan. And that pretty much concludes the episode. Thanks for listening to episode 18 of the podcast. Have a great week. We'll see you next week for episode 19.
Bye.
See you later.